Selling lies and buying time, killing people, that's in line. Lower class and social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Censorship, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only for they war. They shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape. They burn the kids, no one makes gun. Trees, lie to your face. Fight and die, cause God forgives. Selling lies and buying time, killing people next in line. Lower classes, social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. See the shit, force a bear. Fuck them back, that's only fair. They bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape. They burn the kids, no one makes gun. Trees, lie to your faith, fight and die, cause double gifts. Yeah.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat right here on UCY.TV, my favorite little online network. So get out and promote the damn thing. Anyways, I got to say, I love the CBC, the Communist Broadcasting Corporation here in Canada. Somebody else called it the Canadian Brainwashing Corporation, which is equally as good, I guess. Same thing. I love this. They just fire this stuff out. It confuses people. They don't understand what it is they're seeing. But this is brilliant, you know, because I keep saying these politicians may disappear out of the political sphere, so to speak, but they don't go away, okay? All prime ministers, all cabinet members, chief justices, and so on and so forth, all end up in the Privy Council, the Queen's Privy Council. And when they enter that Privy Council, they take an oath of secrecy for life. So you know they're up to no good. But they're always working in the background because they've sold their souls. And they remain active until they die. Joe Clark, who was only the prime minister for a short period of time, conservative, was on a panel at the University in California, trying to figure out on a panel how to soft shoe the North American Union down our throats. That's not in the mainstream. And now he is, he's the guy that gives out the awards for the Aga Khan award. Ridiculous. Now, Kim Campbell, who was the prime minister for, I don't know, an hour and a half or something, very short period of time, is here on the Communist Brainwashing Corporation, I guess. And she's bitching and complaining. Kim Campbell calls sleeveless dresses demeaning for TV broadcasters. Bare arms undermine credibility and gravitas, she tweeted Tuesday morning. Kim Campbell is astonishing female news anchors who wear sleeveless dresses on the air, calling the bare arms bare-armed attire demeaning. The former prime minister tweeted her displeasure, saying bare arms undermine credibility. This is her tweet. I am struck by how many women on television news wear sleeveless dresses, often when sitting with suited men. I have always felt it was demeaning to the women, and this suggests that I am right. Bare arms undermine credibility. She faced swift criticism online, with one tweeter pointing out that the former U.S. First Lady Michelle Obama frequently wore sleeveless dresses. Campbell replied that she was referring specifically to female broadcasters. She cited as support an essay from U.S. speaking coach Nick Morgan, who asserts in a blog post that if you show up in front of us with skin exposed, we're going to think about your body. He also takes issue with men who wear expensive, cool-looking casual T-shirts for an important speech. I am struck by how many women on television news wear sleeveless dresses, often when sitting with suited men, Campbell tweeted on her verified account Tuesday morning. I've always felt it was demeaning for women, and Morgan's blog post suggests that I am right. Now, remember the word suggest. Suggest is equal to hypnotize, okay? Putting a thought process into your head to get you to lean in that direction. Bare arms undermine credibility. Again, that's, is that the third, fourth time she said that in this little piece? Conservative MP Michelle Rempel had her own take on Campbell's tweet. I firmly believe in the right of Canadians to bear arms. Oh, isn't that just funny? I guess that's a little take off the, what is that, the Second Amendment in the United States? So there's a little YouTube here, Standing Up for Canadian Women. I haven't had a chance to look at it yet. Most of the online replies took issue with Campbell's unsolicited fashion advice. Please be joking, Kim, tweeted one user. Another pointed out that Canada's first and only female prime minister, who was in office from June 25th, 1993, to October 24th, 1993. So that's July, August, September, it's like 4 months. Where she was the prime minister, once bared her shoulders for a provocative black and white photo in 1993, in which she held up a suit of lawyer's robes in front of her body as if naked. Again, Campbell replied she wasn't presenting the news at the time. The photo was art, she tweeted. The controversy harkens back to a similar uproar over female attire on the now-defunct Sun News Network, which is a conservative news outlet, or right-wing. The conservative controversy harkens back to a similar uproar. Okay, I got that. The flapper erupted soon after the right-wing all-news network debuted in April 2011, with National Post columnist Tasha deriding the network's female journalists for dressing like cocktail hostesses in low-cut sleeveless attire. At the time, Lucy Chi Savage of Maclean's Magazine, also called the alt-news network Skank TV, in a tweet that was eventually retracted. Now, why would a prime minister who I, ex-prime minister who I do believe lives in California now, And she blew out of here pretty quick after she was done being the prime minister. Why all of a sudden does Kim Campbell show up talking about skin, bare shoulders, bare arms on to the news broadcasters? What the hell businesses are hers? None, actually. But you can bet this has to do with Islam. Okay, the covering of the skin. Now, Kim Campbell, of which people forgot, well, I mean, if you were born after, what, 1980, you probably never heard of Kim Campbell before. So, you know, this guy, Robert Clement, this is some of the comments on this. Why has she been paraded out here for? She sounds like a liberal, for Pete's sake. Well, she is a liberal. They're all liberals. You know, if you think your conservative party is any different than the liberal party, you best wake up a little bit. Okay? What they're both parties are doing, because of agreements that this so-called country has signed with the United Nations without your consent, without your knowledge, we're bound to these things. And that's why we've got to cut all ties with the UN, like now. So she's been paraded out here because she's a past prime minister. She's a member of the Privy Council, of which she took an oath of secrecy for life. And they will be brought out and say what they got to say, regardless. Now, Paul Hellyer, who is the longest guy that's still alive in the Privy Council, I think he went in the 50s, maybe. He's like 90-something now. He's still being paraded out, and he's going to these union halls and that and spewing off his nonsense. But, you know, never can he get through a talk without talking about aliens. Okay? Now, his job is to go out and spew the alien agenda. Okay? So you go back to Kushner and Reagan and a bunch of these other people that's saying that, you know, should there be an alien invasion, that would bring all of the people to look to the UN to save them, kind of thing. Now, they did lots of old B-movies and that about the same thing. There was one on, I forget what the name of that damn thing was. No, it wasn't the Twilight Zone. It was, oh, what was the name of that? Anyways, the whole thing was they drew straws, and one of the people was turned into an alien, changed the DNA and everything. And the idea was that he was to go up in a rocket ship and then land on the front steps of the United Nations and come out as this alien being, and then everybody would freak out and look to the UN to save their bacon. And that's why Paul Hellyer's still running around out there, specifically. Now, let's see, Brian Bahali, yeah, to all the sarcasm, but she has a point. What's with this thing where the women, not the men, have short skirts, bare arms, a mask of extreme makeup, intense hair, et cetera, et cetera? Well, that's kind of an odd statement, because what's with this thing where the women, not the men, have short skirts? Well, I don't want to see a man in a short skirt, period. And I don't want to see a man wearing a bunch of makeup. So some of these comments, right? Imus Johnson, I draw the line with only wearing jello paint. So a senior citizen criticizing today's fashion choices is news. Oh, wait, she is a conservative. Now I see the point. Why don't we just ask a female liberal, ex-PM, ex-liberal leader for a rebuttal? Oh, sorry, one doesn't exist. Bare arms match fancy socks. So, you know, Trudeau should wear sleeveless shirts because he likes to wear fancy socks. He likes to wear LGBTQ socks. He likes to wear globalist socks. He likes to wear world citizen socks or global citizen socks. So no more sleeves for Mr. Trudeau, please. Trump Foresight says she could be the next leader of North Korea. Now, he's getting closer, but I haven't seen anybody hit the story here yet. For once, Canada stands united. We don't care about what kind of sleeves a newscaster wears. Let freedom reign. Why is this a story? That's what Tom Forsyth says. You know, he's on the, and the, you know, the CBC, paid for by the taxpayers of this country. Why is this a story? When was the last time anyone mentioned Kim Campbell? Bingo. Who cares what she thinks about broadcasters' clothing? There is an agenda here. You got it, Tom. You got it. There's an agenda here for sure. No one wants to see your arms, Justin. Roll up your sleeves. Stop pretending you're working. It's come to this. You have got to be kidding me, says Harold. Ron LeBlanc says, haven't heard from her in 20 years. And she resurfaces with a fashion tip. A little less leg would have appreciated as well. I want to hear what a broadcaster has to say without being distracted by an exposed thigh. Who really cares what she says now, says Ida. Paul says, come on, people, we are running out of things to be offended by. We need to start rationing out offense like it's South African water, or we'll have nothing left, or else we'll need to start drinking our pee, looking for a comparison to being offended. But this is absolutely 100% pushing the Islamic agenda. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Robert Miller says, probably just trying to get appointed in the upcoming Ministry of Fashion Police. Now, this is wrong. You see, George Wilson, Campbell was long ago relegated to the dustbin of Canadian history. I doubt most Canadians care about anything she says or even pay attention for that matter. But that's the problem. You need to pay attention. Danielle says, actually, lately I've been noticing that the same that some are going sleeveless on TV news, weather, etc. I was wondering if it was a new trend, plus the fact that it is winter and sleevelessness is more of a summer thing. However, as one commentator mentioned, the studio lights are hot. But very few people know anything about Kim Campbell. And that's the problem. You see, you don't, nobody looks into anything. Therein lies the problem. You see, everybody thinks that once these people are voted out, they're out. They go do something else. Well, they may, but when they're called to say something or do something, they do it. Because they have sold their souls for life to the corporation. So, let's see. She's older than I am, for crying out loud. Born in 47. Canadian politician, diplomat, lawyer. Well, there's three strikes against her right there. 19th Prime Minister of Canada, yada, yada, yada. And chairperson for Canada's Supreme Court Advisory Board. Let's see. University, family, early political career, who cares? Federal politics. Where is it what I'm looking for here? Post-political career, okay? You go look at your ex-prime ministers and those in cabinet, and you will find they're all working in some aspect or another towards the takedown of the nation that they supposedly served as a prime minister. Despite her dramatic loss in the election, the Canadian women's magazine Sat Lane named Campbell as its Women of the Year in 1993. She published an autobiography, Time and Chance, yada, yada, yada. It was briefly rumored that she was to be sent to Moscow as the ambassador to Russia. However, in 1996, Campbell was appointed consul general to Los Angeles by the Karachay government. So we have the Liberal prime minister appointing an ex-conservative prime minister to consul general to Los Angeles, a post in which she remained until 2000. While she was there, she collaborated with her husband, composer, playwright, and actor Hershey Felder on the production of a musical, Noah's Ark. Now, I could be wrong here, but I'm thinking this Hershey guy is likely a Jew. I'm not 100% sure. Let's see what we can find out here really fast. And let me see. Maybe he's just a German. Maybe he's a German Jew. I don't have anything here on his early life. So let's snag it in like this. This is, it takes 2 seconds anymore to do research. I mean, it really, truly does. He's probably not, maybe he's not Jewish. Hershey Felder to lead sing-along of songs by Broadway's Jewish American songwriters. Felder will perform the work of great Jewish composers. So let's see. Who's brought up life stage? Well, there's lots of Jewish stuff in here attached to him, so I don't know. I don't see anything that specifically says that he's absolutely Jewish, but for months, Hershey Felder's dazzle packed Tucker Center audience with the wit and of three Jewish New York greatest composers. So I don't know. I haven't got time to see if he's absolutely Jewish or not, but it has all the markings. So we'll go back to Kim Campbell. From 1999 to 2003, she chaired the Council of Women World Leaders. Now, see, people just thought Kim Campbell was a prime minister for 4 months and went away. A network of women who hold or have held the office of president or prime minister. She was succeeded by former Irish president Mary Robinson from 2003 Till 2005, she served as the president of the International Women's Forum, a global organization of women of prominent achievement with headquarters in Washington, D.C. From 2001 to 2004, she was with the Center for Public Leadership and lectured at the John Kennedy School of Government at Harvard. She has served as a director of several publicly traded companies in high technology, biotech, and currently sits on the board of Athenex, a biopharmaceutical company that has its IPO since June 2017. Campbell chaired the steering committee of the World Movement for Democracy. Okay? Remember when they went in and bombed the snot out of Iraq when they were spreading democracy? So she was the chair of the steering committee of the World Movement for Democracy from 2008 to 2015. She served on the board of the International Crisis Group, an NGO that aims to prevent and resolve deadly conflicts. She served on the board of the Forum of Federations, the East Wind Institute, and is founding trustee of the International Center for Study on Radicalization and Political Violence at King's College London. She was founding member of the Club of Madrid, an independent organization whose main purpose is to strengthen democracy in the world. Its membership is by invitation only and consists of former heads of state of government. At different times, Campbell has served as the interim president, vice president, from 2004 to 2006, its secretary general. Campbell was the founding chair of the International Advisory Board of the Ukraine Foundation of Effective Governance, an NGO formed in September 2007 with the with businessman, or I can't, Akhmetov. During 2006 election campaign, Campbell endorsed the candidacy of Tony Fograssi, the conservative candidate in Campbell's former riding, Vancouver Center. Campbell also clarified to reporters that she is a supporter of the New Conservative Party, which is the liberals or Marxists, while testifying in April, the Mulroney-Schreiber Airbus inquiry. Campbell said she still follows Canadian politics intermittently. In April 2014, Campbell was appointed to the founding principal of the new Peter Lougheed Leadership College at the University of Alberta. She has appeared on CBC television, Canada's next great prime minister, yada, yada, yada. Real time with Bill Mayer. On August the 2nd, 2016, it was announced by Liberal Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. Oops. Our present Prime Minister, who's a Liberal, announced by Liberal Prime Minister Justin Trudeau that Campbell had agreed to chair a seven-person committee to prepare a short list of candidates to succeed Thomas Cromwell on the Supreme Court of Canada. In mid-October 2016, the committee announced that it would recommend the appointment of Malcolm Rowe in the court, to the court, and was sworn in October, yada, yada, yada. So what you got here is you have someone that was a prime minister for 4 months. In all of these globalist groups, you know, a lot of these things are NGOs. These are non-governmental organizations. These are the non-governmental organizations are funded by the tax-exempt foundations, mostly, to write papers and move ideas, ideologies, and keep moving us towards a world government. And it doesn't really matter who you pick that was, you know, so we have the list of all these women. And we see the males being pushed aside. Now here we have, this is the Council of Women World Leader members. So a lot of these names I'd have to go and check out. These are all presidents and prime ministers of countries. But what we have one here is very interesting, and I'm sure if I went and checked all the rest of these out, I'd be in the same boat with them all. Gro Harlem Brundtland is a member, and she was the president, prime minister of Norway. She was also the vice president of Socialist International. She was the one that chaired was in charge of, or her name was on, the book Our Common Future, which is really a prelude to or a primer for Agenda 21. Now, Our Common Future, called the Gro Brundtland Report, was written mainly by two Canadians, Maurice Strong and Jim McNeil, and David Rockefeller, who said he's been accused of being an internationalist, and if that be the charge, he stands guilty, and he's proud of it. These people's job is to destroy nation states. That's their job. That's what they do. So this idea that once they've left, we have Theresa May, Prime Minister of United Kingdom, who is presently 2016 to present. And there's just this huge, long list of past and, I guess, present because of Theresa May, who are members of this globalist outfit. Margaret Thatcher was a member. This is in the deceased column. So, you know, what do we care about what Kim Campbell has to say about sleeveless attire on women broadcasters? A whole hell of a lot. Because they want those broadcasters in a burqa, eventually. So instead of like the revolution of Iran, where one day people were walking around wearing whatever the hell they wanted, and boom, the women are all in burqas, and they're all under Sharia law, and that is the law is going to replace the so-called law that we have now here. One of the main reasons that we became a secular society was to get rid of, and I'm going to call it the Protestant face because Rome bastardized. I mean, Rome is the opposite. They took over the Christian deal. And the Reformation, which brought forward the Protestants, which, you know, shone a light on what the hell Rome, the Vatican, the Pope was actually up to, is the reason they secularized Western nations was so they could come in with their Islamic nation and interject Sharia law. And that's exactly what they're doing. So they took the Christian faith, if you want to call it that, and the Lord's Prayer out of all government institutions, and turned to secular. And now we basically, I mean, if you go down to Toronto, you got 122 language, I think it is, called Babylon. And you've got all this gay LGBTQ crap. You might as well call it Sodom and Gomorrah. So we're right back, basically, to what Martin Luther witnessed when he first got to Rome. And the Reformation kicked the snot out of Rome for a very, very long time. But, you know, they keep weaseling away in the background. And come Vatican II in the 60s, they have since taken over all of the churches. You have all of the churches and all the political pushing the agendas. So we have that. And then we have the International Women's Forum, and does not have a, let me see if I can search for, let me see if we can dig that out. International, let's see. International Women's Forum does not exist. Here's one, the International Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Trans, and Intersex Association, the ILGA Europe, have sponsored the only international gathering of intersex activists and organizations. The International Intersex Forum has taken place annually since. Okay, we'll go back to Kim. And let's see, the World Movement for Democracy is an international network of individuals and organizations who share the common goal of promoting democracy. World Movement was launched in February 1999 when the National Endowment for Democracy and two non-governmental organizations in India brought together a cross-section of democracy activists, practitioners, and scholars from over 80 countries in New Delhi for discussion of ways to advance democracy. The participants adopted a founding statement launching the World Movement to strengthen democracy where it is weak, to reform and invigorate democracy even where it's long-standing, and bolster pro-democracy groups in countries that have not yet entered into the process of democratic transition. It is intended to unite the global community of democracy advocates and practitioners to facilitate exchanges of information, knowledge, and experiences, and to build cross-border solidarity and cross-border, which is, ends up where we are now, Canada, a borderless state. The World Movement is led by an international steering committee. The NED currently serves as the secretariat. A network of networks, the World Movement has led to the establishment of regional networks, including the African Democracy Forum, the Latin American and Caribbean Network for Democracy, and the World Forum for Democratization of Asia, as well as functional global networks, including the Global Network on Local Governments, the International Women's Democracy Network, the Network Democracy Research Institutes, and the World Youth Movement of Democracy. The World Movement has had 5 global assemblies since its founding in New Delhi in 1999, Sao Paulo, South Africa, Turkey, Ukraine, Indonesia. It has also initiated 2 major projects as a result of assembly discussions. A civil society project was launched in 2006 in collaboration with the International Center for Nonprofit Law, to respond to efforts among an increasing number of governments to close down civil society space, particularly for democracy and human rights, through the new NGO laws and restrictions on international funding. So you can go to all of those places. They have, and it's all, you know, this particular thing's internationally focused NGO, the Carter Center, Center for Democracy and Development, Consortium of Elections and Political Process Strengthening, the Electoral Institute for Sustainability of Democracy, International Foundation of Electoral Systems, and bilateral international intergovernmental organizations, the United Nations, Westminster Foundation of Democracy, International Human Rights and Democratic Development. This is all globalist, world order, world government nonsense. So they put Kim Campbell up discuss sleeveless sleeveless attire on women in broadcasting. Now, it seems that Kim has been quite busy. So what is the purpose of her puking this nonsense out about sleeveless attire on women broadcasters? Simple. Want to cover them up. Want to cover them up. Now, she was a founding member of the Club of Madrid. The Club of Madrid is an independent nonprofit organization created to promote democracy and change in the international community, composed of 96 or 95 regular members, 64 of whom are former prime ministers and 39 of whom are prime ministers, who are former prime ministers. The Club of Madrid is the world's largest forum of former head of state and government. Among its main goals are the strengthening of democratic institutions and counseling on the resolution of political conflicts in two key areas, democratic leadership and governance in the response to crisis and post-crisis situation. The Club Madrid, or D Madrid, works together with governments, intergovernmental organizations, civil society, scholars, and representatives from the business world to encourage dialogue in order to foster social and political change. The Club de Madrid also works on the search for effective methods to provide technical advice and recommendations to transitional nations taking steps to establish democracy. So, let's see, March 2014, there are 95 full members. The club also has institutional members and foundations, those who belong to private and public organizations that share similar democratic objectives, including FRIDE, whichever that is, we'll look at it. The Gorbachev Foundation of North America. Now, Gorbachev was one of the ones, was a great friend of Morris Strong, and he has the, Global Green, I think, is his organization. And his attitude is, the easiest way to fix the, this is Gorbachev as a quote, the easiest way to fix the environment is just get rid of, I don't know what it was, 90% of the population or something in that area. Both original sponsors of the founding conference in 2001, the Madrid City Council, the regional government of Madrid, and the government of Spain. Additionally, there are six honorary members, Kofi Annan, Aung San Suu Kyi, and a number of fellows who are experts on democratic changeover. The club is based in Madrid, although meetings are held worldwide. Currently, Bergra, the former president of Latvia, is the organization's president, and it has two vice presidents, Jennifer Shipley of New Zealand and Jorge Fernando Quiroga of Bolivia. The former president of the Club of Madrid is Wim Cole. The club was created from an event that was held in October 2001 in Madrid, a four-day conference on democratic transition and consolidation. This event brought together 35 world leaders from over 100 esteemed academics and policy specialists in Europe, the Americas, Asia, Africa, to discuss ideas and means of implementation from both objective and subjective perspectives. The conference discussed eight main topics, constitutional design, the legislative branch and its relation to the executive branch, the judicial branch and its relation with the executive branch, anti-corruption procedures, the role of the armed forces and security forces, reform of the state bureaucracy, strengthening of political and social pluralism and of political parties, economic and social conditions. So And as a setup, if you look at the setup on this, it's almost the same as the setup of the United Nations. The funding sources, the club is a nonprofit organization and members offer their services on a pro bono basis. It exists financially on donations, which are used to support a permanent secretariat and fund some specific project. The club's accounts are audited annually by an external organization. The Club of Madrid Foundation USA, the Club of Madrid Foundation Inc., is a grant-making foundation that has U.S. 501 tax-exempt status. It exists to raise funds in support of the club's charitable and educational activities. Members. Now, we have a whole... I can't read most of these names in here, but you may be able to. Members. Well, here's one I recognize. U.S. President Bill Clinton was instrumental in pushing NATO to intervene in Bosnia and Kosovo in 1995. His efforts produced Operation Deliberate Force, resulting in the Dayton Accords, which ended the Bosnian War in Operation Allied Force, during which NATO utilized air supremacy and strategic bombing to cripple Serbian forces and force them to withdraw from Kosovo. And we have a Swedish prime minister did something. And Helmut Kohl oversaw the reunification of East and West Germany. Well, that's interesting because he's also a, well, he's dead now, but Club de Madrid member. You know, this big hoo-ha about the reunification of East and West Germany was basically part of the plan from way back in 1950 with Paul Warburg, who said that there would be a world government by consent or by conquest. And but they had a problem, and the problem was, how can we have a world government when we have two superpowers, right? How are we going to do that? And this is the time frame that the Iron Curtain of the Soviet Union came down. And it's the time frame of when the Berlin Wall came down. So it took away the separations. And now what they needed was mechanisms. They needed problems that could only be solved at the global level. And that is one of your main mechanisms, is your man-caused global warming / climate change is one of those mechanisms to bring about world government. So we also, let's see, Accords, Canadian Prime Minister Jean Chrétien, who urged support for Canada's participation in Operation Allied Forces, and Finnish President, who along with Russian Prime Minister, convinced Serbian President Milosevic to retreat from Kosovo in accordance with NATO's demands. So these ex-prime ministers and presidents, be it they female or male, they don't disappear. Now, here we find Gro Harlem Brundtland again. Now, the reason you can't have a smoke anywhere anymore can be tied straight back to Gro Harlem Brundtland, who was the head of the WHO at one point. And that is why you can't smoke anywhere. Kim Campbell is a member of this thing. And Jean Chrétien, Liberal Prime Minister, Bill Clinton, Democratic President, and a bunch of names here. I don't Vicente Fox of Mexico is a member. Mikhail Gorbachev is a member. These are all people who are working towards the destruction of the nation state. in order to input a world government. Now, the problem is that our leaders, and you can go way, 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 way back before the United Nations was even created, and this has been the goal. This has been the goal all along, has been world government. So, we need to pay attention to this and become active. Because what they're doing, because we are, you know, our countries are member states of the United Nations, and we have had our different prime ministers, and in the same in the States and in basically every other country. So the politico just goes stage by stage. The politicians disappear, the bureaucracy stays put, the UN stays put, and these puppet politicians are just brought in to bring agendas of the globalists to play in our nations, without us ever being told about it, without asking for our consent about it. And meanwhile, this massive number of international lawyers are writing international law, which supersedes our own laws because of these UN agreements and agreements with their partners and agreements with all the different entities that are associated with the United Nations. So we're being taken down by the inside by those who you vote for. There's Kofi Annan again. Jimmy Carter is a member. And like I said, there's a lot of the president or ex-president Jacques Delors of France is a socialist. Javier Solana of Spain, socialist. And you find a lot of that in these listings. But I'm going to, this is just one prime minister who was only the prime minister for 4 months. You know, I don't know what the Forum of Federations is, but I'm going to put this in. You people can look through this stuff. This is bloody important. The Forum of Federations. The Forum of Federations is an international organization based in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. The Forum and its partners form a global network on federalism. It brings together elected officials, civil servants, experts in federalism from about 20 countries to learn from each other. The Forum's learning and technical assistance programs have covered the following countries: Argentina, Australia. I won't go through all these countries. Organization, the Forum of Federations, an international network of federal countries, elected officials, civil servants, yada, yada, yada. The Forum was established by the Government of Canada in 1999 and currently has 9 other partner governments: Australia, Brazil, Ethiopia, Germany, India, Mexico, Nigeria, Pakistan, and Switzerland. Forum's headquarters are in Ottawa, and it has field offices in Nepal, Ethiopia, and Myanmar. Now, Myanmar, is that not where they just sent Bob Ray / Cohen to go and see about these poor Muslims and see about bringing them back to Canada? I think that's where he went. The Forum runs training and knowledge sharing programs to address governance challenges in existing and emerging federations, as well as is in devolved and decentralized countries. The forum is concerned with the contribution that multi-level government can make to democracy building and democratic consolidation. Activities. Let's see. Oh, there's that damn word. Diversity and unity in federal countries, local government and metropolitan regions in federal systems, foreign relations and in federal countries, the practice of fiscal federalism. Now, if you look at the UNPA, which is the United Nations Parliamentary Assembly, you will find that the world federalists have a big play in that, okay? And I'm sure we can get to there from some of these links and or just the words and use them as search words. Anyways, problem solving, current or recent projects of June 2013 on federalism include courts, judicial systems, water, international, internal markets, gender, and leadership, healthcare, and federalism, joint service delivery, revenue sharing, and decentralization, oil, gas, local and metropolitan governments, governance, public security, climate change, and environmental governance, benchmarking, immigration, and integration of newcomers. Geez, kind of sounds like what's going on here now. And the head office of this is in Ottawa. Probably just down the street from the Aga Khan's place. So, let's see. These programs provide training on federalism and decentralized governance, as well as sector-specific institutional support. Holds major international conferences on average every 3 years, supported or sponsored by Canada. Conferences are attended by heads of state and heads of government. Now, you don't see this stuff on the news. Now, everything I've gone through here tonight on the show is attached to one woman who was the Prime Minister of Canada for, and I didn't get through all of these links yet. So I'm going to put this in the chat. And if you're not in the chat and just listening, you just hack in Kim Campbell and go to Wikipedia. You will have everything I was just reading. And then you can go and all those people that are in those links, the past prime ministers and presidents, you can search them out and you will find that so many of them are attached to the same organizations. It's a very small group of very dangerous people who you never hear of, who are working to destroy your nation. And if that don't piss you off, well, I'm certain that sleeveless dresses on newscasters will. So that's the show. That's, you know, you can take a simple, you know, people look at it and go, what the hell is this about? Well, if you keep your eyes open, you know what it's about. So take care, everybody. Have a great night. We're out of time. So we're out of here. We'll be back Thursday night. Take care. Selling lies and buying time. Killing people next in line. Lower classes, social slime. They don't matter. Genocide. Sick from water. Sick from air. Making money. They don't care. Caesarship. Force of air. Fuck them back. It's only for the more.